This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A homeowner finds a stranger in their bathtub. The White House is going to finally install the solar panels. And firefighters capture a 300-pound bear.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, October 6th, 2010. A Southeast Portland man came home to find an intruder sitting in his bathtub in a bizarre incident last month. Police arrested Radai Argueta Vasquez, who pleaded not guilty to charges of burglary and criminal trespassing. Police said Argueta Vasquez was muddy and wearing the homeowner's Oregon Ducks jersey while sitting in the bathtub. The homeowner thinks the suspect took his jersey from a pile of dirty clothes. That homeowner still hasn't had his Ducks shirt returned because Argueta Vasquez was wearing it when he was arrested. In addition to the discovery in his bathtub, the homeowner told police he was offered a $100 bill by the suspect in exchange for him not calling the police. Part of the White House is getting a little greener. Acting Undersecretary of Energy Kathy Zoe says they'll install solar panels to help provide electricity to the residents.
This is solar, is that this kind?
It is indeed.
Solar panels that actually are used to make
hot water. Good Lord, God Almighty.
Scared me.
It was like the solar panels themselves wanted to make their presence known in the most audible fashion possible. All right,
what are you doing over there?
Well, I'm just hitting random buttons with my forehead.
Don't do that.
Amazingly enough, that doesn't seem to be having a desired effect. Let's try that one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, Energy Secretary Kathy Zoe.
Solar panels that actually are used to make hot water for showers and for cooking and that sort of thing. And both of those sorts of sets of technologies will be going in and they'll be installed by late spring next year.
By the way, she's really perky. Like, yeah. So much so that you can tell it's almost certainly her first week on the job. That'll be beaten out of her immediately. Secondly, I'm glad that we are able to pay government officials so that they can clarify the sorts of uses one might have for hot water, such as showering or cooking or that kind of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Zoe says solar panels will be installed to provide electricity to the White House, and a solar-powered water heater will also be installed.
A typical home in D.C. Uses about 8,800 kilowatt-hours a year of electricity. We expect this solar system to be somewhere around the 20,000 kilowatt-hours a year, so it's a nice big system.
Okay. I mean, I guess I should be happy about it, or at least... At least mildly positive on the whole thing. It's just...
Just in case you were unclear, the average household uses a certain amount of electricity. The White House, surprisingly, uses a whole lot more than a regular house.
And that she notes everything in terms of kilowatt hours, because that's a thing that I have inside my peachy folder here, so I can convert it into hectares, which makes it more understandable for me. All right, there you go.
And that sort of thing.
And that she calls it a solar system, which is sort of awesome.
Well, Bend, Oregon firefighters are trained for rescues. Even a 300-pound black bear passed out 60 feet up in a tree. Police say the bear was knocking over trash cans and making other mischief on Monday night in a city neighborhood before it scrambled up the tree. Fish and wildlife workers went to remove it and shot it with multiple tranquilizers because of its size. After the bear nodded off, two firefighters climbed up and put harnesses on it, then took their time carefully lowering the bear to safety. Bend fire engineer Tom Edwards said it all went well. He said, "We had a good time, and the bear had a good time, and that's the important thing."
That's really what matters, really, in the grand scheme of things. If the bear's happy, you're happy.
I'm not sure the bear really had a good time.
I think the bear is largely indifferent to the whole thing. The bear's basically just marking days on the calendar until an asteroid removes us from the planet, and they can go back to eating whatever it is they want, whatever they like.
The bear was having a really good time rummaging about, eating out of trash cans, causing mischief, and then a bunch of people yelled at him, and he went up a tree, and he got trapped. And then they shot him full of tranquilizers and put him, like, and made him unconscious and then lowered him out of a tree. He was not having a good time.
Hey, when is that horrible Yogi Bear movie coming out?
Oh, God. Maybe it already did?
I don't know. I have no idea. I only ever saw the trailer, online, and then I saw the poster.
And it was just hideous.
The Good Things Come in Bears poster, which is all, like, strangely, A, homoerotic, yes. And B... It's got this whole weird, bestial, kind of a theme going. Except it's not even really bestiality. It's what would you sort
no,
of a, like?
They're
a,
both bears, so
zoological porn. Anyway, I just saw the trailer and the poster for it. And I never really saw anything, any other information. And you and I had shared our, the sort of horror at the advertising campaign for that. But I never actually saw it released anywhere.
No, I don't know. I think it may have come and gone, and we just avoided it, or have blocked out the horror like a bad molestation from our childhood.
You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM and so forth. Don't forget, later on this hour, we'll have Science on the March as well as entertainment news. You can get this program on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.pdx.fm. Mobile.pdx.fm. It's also available via iTunes and is a downloadable MP3 file right here or at legionofnews.com. This is Don Taylor.
A federally protected wolf has been killed in northeastern Oregon. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Wolf Coordinator Russ Morgan confirmed Tuesday that a wolf carrying a radio collar from the Winnaha pack had been killed. Morgan said it's the same 2-year-old male that was captured and fitted with a radio tracking collar in August. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is investigating. They have jurisdiction over wolves in Oregon since their endangered species status was restored recently by court order. Wolves have been moving into Oregon from Idaho, where they were reintroduced as part of a federal project to get them off of the endangered species list. Multnomah County officials are planning to use GPS locator bracelets to track known gang members. The Multnomah County Department of Community Justice's pilot program is expected to kick off early next week. County commissioners approved more than $9,000 for the 5-month program that fits 5 GPS bracelets on selected gang members believed to be most likely to participate in violent activities.
Have they also been reintroduced in Idaho to stem their endangered status?
Exactly.
All right.
Because, they will not alter their natural behavior in any way when they are wearing these GPS bracelets. So we can study them and learn. The units would also be moved to different members as officials deem necessary. Carl Goodman, assistant director of the Department of Community Justice, said the bracelets will help identify gang activity. If an episode explodes in the community, he said, we would know whether or not our person was there or anywhere close by, and it's a very effective tool for us.
So we're basically just living in a sort of Demolition Man future, where there's just some bald-headed guy with, pince-nez spectacles in a room just staring at a blue screen on which is, these glowing banks of dots showing the location of John Spartan and various Crips and Bloods as they traffic throughout the city.
Yeah, he's got a little pad and a paper, I guess, and he's watching his screen, and then every once in a while he'll get on the horn and tell somebody that, Chewy and Jesus were near that 7-Eleven that got knocked over. I don't understand exactly what the whole point of this is, because they make it sound like they're going to use it as some kind of investigative tool, when in actuality it ought to be something that would discourage these gentlemen from committing crimes?
Well, that'll be the next step. They'll have it. It'll be sort of the it'll be the reverse of that. I try to reference this movie like once every 6 months, and I can never remember the name of it. What was the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie with the explosive thing around his neck? Where it was like him and the woman. Wasn't the Van Damme? Him and the woman each have a collar on, and if they get more than 50 yards apart, it blows up.
Oh, I'm not really up on my Van Damme oeuvre.
Well, we're all poorer for that then, because I can't remember the name of the movie. But I swear to God, it was a movie that came out like 3-4 years ago. And maybe it starred something else. My brain is just inserting Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, I think it was a movie that was supposed to have starred him.
Well, there were exploding collars on the kids in Battle Royale, if you ever saw that film.
Yeah, but this wasn't that.
Okay.
But it was... Anyway, so it was like... But Van Damme and some chick are like... They're electronically tethered together because they've each got a collar on. And if they get more than, like, I don't know, 100 feet or 200 yards or whatever, if they get more than X distance apart, it blows up.
Someone in the text box says that was Transporter 3.
Well, it may have also been Transporter 3, but maybe it's a commonly used device. Maybe that's just sort of a, maybe that's some sort of a MacGuffin that they put in any number of action films. But, so, what they should do with this, if they're really going to use this for something, is just to do the opposite of that, where as opposed to getting too far away from something, if you just get too close to something, then, you know, one ankle too few.
That is like an excellent idea for all sorts of parolees.
That's what I'm saying. And so it would be a combination of Transporter 3 and Ed 209 from RoboCop, where as you get closer, it just says, like, you are approaching a school. You have 10 seconds to comply, Chewie. You know, and whatever. And then if you just continue to disregard it, then it beeps louder and faster. And if you continue to get too close to, let's say, a 7-Eleven where a guy doesn't want you hanging out and the opera music hasn't worked to chase the hooligans out of the parking lot, then suddenly, vaporizes one of your elbows or something.
And in some cases, you could use them so that they don't explode and, like, actually take the guy's head off. They just, like, shoot a tranquilizer into your neck. And so, you know, you get too close to somebody you're not supposed to be with or something, and you just drop, like, a sack of potatoes and then pee yourself.
And... just releases some sort of bowel relaxant into your system.
So you're rendered unconscious, and you're humiliated.
And your street cred is diminished.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. See, do we ought to patent that right now and sell that to law enforcement?
We could call it the snooze poop collar.
From Blackwater. All right. Seriously, I'm going to have my lawyer call Halliburton today and just tell him, hey, we've got the best idea ever. Bring your checkbook. Here's Don Taylor.
Two people were taken to the hospital Tuesday afternoon after a head-on collision on Highway 34 west of Lebanon. According to Oregon State Police, a Toyota Prius driven by a smug 45-year-old Alma Mix was heading east on the highway. I shouldn't probably make fun of someone who was injured. Was heading east on the highway at 4:40 p.m. when the car suddenly crossed into the westbound lane. The car slammed into a 2010 Toyota pickup truck driven by 27-year-old Daniel Rackham of Albany. Mix was airlifted to Corvallis Good Samaritan Regional Medical Center with serious injuries. Rackham was taken by ground ambulance with non-life-threatening injuries and was expected to recover. The cause of the crash is under investigation.
It is sort of a perfect confluence of vehicles, though, that you've got the 2007 Prius and the 2010, like Canyon Arrow or whatever that the guy is driving.
Both made by Toyota.
Exactly. You know, but the guy is driving some huge masculinomobile, Alma is driving something, as you said, that is smallish and sensible, and which allows her to listen to her John Mayer records at full volume without the annoying engine hum. All right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. I am also fighting off the urge to make snarky comments about the woman who's injured in a hospital. It's like yesterday I was going to make observations about that guy crossing the road to get to the other side. Or to get to a windshield repeatedly, which happened as well. The guy who got hit like five times by five cars. Did we ever figure out if he was like, if he was homeless or if he was...
No, I haven't heard any further. I'm sorry. I don't know what the
I had several people like. Actually ask me about that. They wanted to know if it was ever... It's apparently a thing that is puzzling a lot of people, why he was in the middle of the highway. So,
stupidity.
We'll pass it along if we locate it. Here's Don Taylor.
Could Hillary Clinton... Let's try that again. Could Hillary Clinton run with Barack Obama in 2012? Veteran Washington Post reporter Bob Woodward says it could happen.
It's on the table, and some of Hillary Clinton's advisors see it as a real possibility in 2012.
You know what? I really do like Bob Woodward's books, but he's a guy who shouldn't be allowed to speak publicly because he's got this really weird... He talks like that Vicky chick from Small Wonder. He's just like this strange... But, you know, it's like there's this weird stilted sort of a syntax where he inserts pauses between the incorrect syllables of words. And it where everybody else, it's like he's almost got some inversion going on in terms of his stress, into where he stresses particular words and phrases and to where he inserts breaks in sentences.
Has he always talked like that?
Yes.
Because, oh, okay, because it sounds like he's having trouble breathing.
No, he's always talked like that. I mean, but ever since I've been aware of who he is and seen him on television, he has the strangest way of speaking out loud. Let's see if I can actually just drop this one more time here.
It's on the table, and some of Hillary Clinton's advisors see it as a real possibility in 2012.
He's got this weird, and this is actually sort of a good day for him. It almost sounds like he's one of those, you know, like Windows, like Microsoft
yeah.
Sam voices on your machine or something, where it's not quite sure how normal humans talk.
He also said her advisors have been told that there's a reason why she's very popular abroad.
When you point out to them that her clout around the world, when she goes to Europe, when she goes to Asia, when she goes anywhere, is in part not just because she's Secretary of State or because she was married to Bill Clinton, that people see a potential future president in her.
In other words, they're afraid to wrong her now because they know there'll be punishment yeah. later, that they'll end up floating in a barrel in the Pacific Ocean, which is true, by the way.
It seems to me that this is another example, though, of how sort of isolated they are from actual the rest of popular media and popular opinion in Washington, because people don't like Hillary Clinton.
But you don't. But see, I disagree that that's important. First of all, I disagree that it's important for a couple of reasons. People don't necessarily need to like the president as much as they say that. You know, well, who would you rather have a beer with? I think that is less a thing that drives Americans now than just the thrill of pissing off other people. And I will tell you right now, there's a huge swath of the country, and I don't just mean the ladies, who would vote for Hillary Clinton just to annoy the other half of the country. I'd absolutely do that. I'd do it in a heartbeat. And I always use my in-laws as an example of this, but I mean, it really is, there's like 49% of the country that hates the other 49% of the country and will never again pass up any opportunity to stick it to them in any way that is offered. And you could not, as much as it, whether people say this openly or not, we know that there are a lot of people who are uncomfortable with the idea that we have a black man
what?
As president. No, I don't want to alarm if they're not aware
what?
Of it. No, it's, I know, it's... But, you know, there's a whole lot of people who just, you know, they would never say that, but we know that in the depths of their tiny little hearts that it's true. But as many people as are probably made uncomfortable by the fact that we elected a black man president, I would say that Hillary Clinton would irritate an even larger number of people. There's a greater swath of the country that would be irritated by her. And so as a result, everybody else, everybody who's on the opposite side of the aisle would vote for her simply for that reason. Also, I think we're motivated a lot more by this perceived need to be safe from alleged terror and terror plots and whatever. And whatever one says about Hillary Clinton, she's not going to take crap from anybody.
No.
I mean, like I say, you just look at a slantways and she'll just reduce your country to rubble.
Yeah, she's scary.
Yeah.
So she could just immolate you with her eyes.
And if you put, and I honestly do believe, if you put Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama on the ticket together, I mean, it'd be a lock. There's nobody the Republicans could put up that could beat that. No one. There's nobody on earth that could beat that ticket.
I have a question for you, Rick Emerson.
Yes.
There's a new TV show on NBC called The Event, and the president on that show is played by Blair Underwood. And it occurred to me...
From LA Law?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it occurred to me watching this, I was wondering... And his last name is Martinez, and his wife is, I believe, played by Eva Mendez. So he's very multicultural. But it occurred to me that I was wondering if... We're in this era right now where post 24 and post Barack Obama, if like you do a TV show where one of your characters, your big characters, is the president, your recurring characters, and he's a good guy. If like now, at least for the next few years, you can't cast an older white man. Because it would seem like a throwback.
Because you were living in a pre Deep Impact era.
Yeah, it's got to be a black man or a woman.
Well, I think the casting of the black man as president, maybe that's the new casting of the black guy as judge, which was what white people did all throughout the 80s. And really,
and before that, the police captain.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, you watch any courtroom drama in the 80s and the 90s. It was like 89% of judges, especially if it was a courtroom drama where the entire, you know, and if he had an opportunity to sort of, you know, if there's the best example. Oh, see, now we're getting sidetracked. I can't let myself get off on this whole thing. But I always just assumed that that was the way that white liberal screenwriters sort of assuaged their guilt for having, you know, an entire industry staffed by and run by white people in a movie starring white people, probably written by white people and directed by a white person. They'd say, no. But the authority figure in the film, the judge, he's a Negro. And so it really all balances out. But you're thinking that it's just going to make it look dated?
Yeah, because I kept thinking that if we had a new TV show that debuted in 2010, and the president was played by a white man, even a white man in his 40s, much less a white man in his 50s or 60s, that people would look at it and go, really, NBC, old white guy as president? We are so past that.
I just don't believe that's possible.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose I was actually watching, a few weeks ago, I was watching a West Wing rerun, and it was from the... I think the fourth season, maybe, but they were talking about dumping John Hoynes, Tim Matheson, who was the vice president, because he's sort of, nobody likes him, and he's kind of sinister and whatever. But they were having this very initial, tentative, off-the-record discussion about changing the ticket and making it Martin Sheen, making it Bartlett, and his name, Fitzwallace. His name escapes me, the dad from Good Times.
John Amos.
And they were talking about, the black turnout would just be explosive. It would just be massive. And you realize that that is from a pre-Barack Obama time when you had never had a black man at either the first or second slot on either of the tickets. So and back on the Hillary Clinton Barack Obama thing for a second, if we take it to be true, and I think like we have to. That black turnout just went through the roof, and probably turnout in general went through the roof in 2008 because of Barack Obama's presence on the ticket and because it was sort of a groundbreaking thing, then you have to admit that the same thing would be true for Hillary Clinton, whether people like her or not.
Yeah, quite possible.
I think that there's a lot of people, and probably specifically women, but I think people in general, to whom the breaking of the glass ceiling is more important than whether or not they actually like the person who's doing it.
See, I would be more likely to vote for someone who is unlikable but gay, but openly gay, than to get excited by Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think except for the openly part, you're probably fine.
If it was Barack Obama and Harvey Fierstein, I would like so be there. Yes, I find him irritating as hell, but I'd be like, yeah, go Harvey. Plus, I think that when he spoke at state funerals and things, it would be awesome.
Okay. This is Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. Here's Don Taylor.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments today on the case putting a Maryland man against the anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church, which protested at his son's funeral. Kansas University law professor Stephen McAllister says states want the power to make funerals off limits to protesters.
That's certainly the arguments the states have made, is that funerals are unique. They are sacred, not necessarily in a religious connotation, but just they're a unique right.
Okay. He says it's noteworthy that Albert Snyder has won his lawsuit against the church in the lower courts.
The state courts are very stingy about intentional infliction of emotional distress, and it's very hard to prove because you have to show it's intentional conduct that is extreme and outrageous and that it causes severe emotional distress.
Has anybody thought about just going and just having some sort of ongoing protest outside the Westboro Church itself in Kansas? You know, like if we just find out where Fred Phelps lives, we could just go have some sort of a sodomy fest sort of taking place, like in the perimeter of his home.
You'd probably have the problem is that you'd have to find people that were just as viciously angry and as crazy as they are, and that's really difficult when basically that would be people who were.
I'm not thinking clearly. No, it'd be the same people that do it now. It'd be the same people that show up now. Jesus hates Furbies or whatever.
You can get people to do something wacky, one day to protest something, but getting them there like day after day after day after day.
We could create a spreadsheet, some sort of a schedule. And, the rest of the country, we could all be, we could all just sort of trade off who was going to be outside their compound.
I still submit that instead we should just make it legal to go punch them in the face.
The Junk Kicking Act of 2010. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, The Rick Emerson Show at RickEmerson.com. Today, another installment of the greatest songs ever made. Twix now and then. We have Science on the March. We have Entertainment News. Legion of News brought to you by The Cleaning Solution. Mr. Michael Beatty is the owner and proprietor of The Cleaning Solution. He's been a longtime supporter of this program. In fact, he was the very first advertiser on this show as well as on the Rick Emerson Show. And he's good people, as they say. You You can contact him at 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. Was it yesterday we had the woman who sent the text in that saying that she was actually thinking about soiling her rug herself?
Yes.
And then she felt the need to put parenthetically, not with poo. because she said that she, you know, she wanted to show her support for the program.
We are a clean people,
that's
but
right.
I would like to hire him.
Exactly. She was trying to find a reason to do that. So what you want to do is you want to write down this number. You want to keep it handy, put it on your fridge or in your phone or your Rolodex or that thing that you used to keep by the phone where it's like you bring the metal tab down to like Q and then you press the button and it springs open magically to the Q page of all of your addresses and phone numbers. Nobody really has anything under Q, probably, but I'm just saying it's 971.
No one under 30 knows what you're talking about.
I know. It's 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. Mr. Michael Beatty, the cleaning solution. They can come to your home and they can take care of anything your feet might touch, whether it's your flagstones, your walkway, your entryway, the tile, the hardwood flooring, carpet, anything like that, whether it's brand new or whether it's been there for quite some time. We can keep it looking new or get it looking new once again. So tell them you
linoleum?
Heard it here on LegionOfNews.com. I'm sorry?
Linoleum?
Yes, linoleum. Sure.
AstroTurf?
Is linoleum a brand name?
Possibly.
Quite
lightly.
If it wasn't called linoleum, what would it be called?
Linoleum actually went out of fashion for many, many years because it's called linoleum. It's made with linseed oil. It's a specific thing. And it was sort of replaced by vinyl tile. And then a few years ago, a company started making actual linoleum again with the linseed oil and brought it back into
production. Now, did they start making actual linoleum?
Yes, they did.
In other words, is it like Kleenex Xerox? Is linoleum a brand name?
That I am not sure of.
And
I know it is a specific process, but it could also be a brand name.
And if it wasn't called linoleum, what would you call it?
Miracle floor.
See, you talk about photocopying. You can talk about facial tissue.
Yeah.
But if you didn't call it linoleum, it seems like we have no other name for that.
We don't.
So it must not be a brand name because otherwise we would know the sort of generic term for it.
Quite possible.
All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Science on the march, right here on LegionOfNews.com.
A fossil of a giant penguin with feathers reveals the first glimpse of what the well-dressed bird was wearing before tuxedos. The 36-million-year-old fossils of the new species include a good portion of a skeleton with a skull and flipper, researchers report online in Science. Perhaps more exciting, though, are the fossilized feathers. They are so well-preserved, the scientists have been able to study the microscopic pigment-bearing nubbins called melanosomes, which give plumes their color. Studying melanosomes in any kind of fossil is a development of just the last 2 years and can provide a lot of information about evolution. Pigment structures can give clues to themes that were virtually concealed from us without such direct evidence of ancient colors, such as camouflage, warning signals, and sexual displays. It was found in northern Peru, and the newly discovered penguin species weighs about 55 to 60 kilograms, or roughly twice what today's emperor penguins average. So these were huge penguins.
Why is it that nothing in the past was ever smaller than it is now? Everything in the past was always huge. They talk about crocodiles, which once roamed the earth and were five times their present size, or that thing where they said that there was a rhinoceros that was the size of a two-story house.
Yes.
Which is sort of awesome. I mean, maybe not even sort of. I mean, it might be awesome in point of fact. And, so it just seems like everything is sort of trending downward in size. And yet we're the opposite, right? Because we used to be real small. Now we're much bigger. Doesn't make any sense at all. Seems like everything is going one way. We're going the other way.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe an actual scientist could answer that.
Probably not.
Outweighing all living penguins, the species, now named Inkiyaku Paris consensus
may not actually be correct,
ranks in the top five of the giant penguin species known from fossils. When swimming,
is there a top five giant penguin species?
Undoubtedly.
Who even knew that? Before you read the story, did you even know there was one giant penguin species?
No, I didn't.
Was it real angry? Did it just like sort of stride across the land like a massive, sort of...
Well, the thing is, though, everything was giant back then, so compared to the other animals, it was just normal penguin size.
I'm just sort of thinking it just doesn't seem like a thing that ought to be giant. It's like having a giant puffin just stomping angrily down the street and consuming humans by the fistful.
I guess when you were an ancient human, you had to be afraid of everything.
Yeah. Well, that's why everything was a god, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Look, if you just looked at the window and you just saw like a bit of you just saw a giant toucan, you know, coming down the street, and it was just the size of an office building. I mean, you'd probably that would seem like some sort of supernatural, all-powerful being.
You walk out of your cave or your hut, and you just see a spider, and you go, "That's it. I'm staying in all day.
Yeah, like,
I'm not leaving now.
F this. Yeah, I'm. Yeah. No. Og, stay inside."
Speaking of scary animals and things. Mutant silkworms can produce miles of super strong silk in a new breakthrough that could lead to mass production of tough, flexible spider silk material. Thanks to these efforts of the genetically modified spider worms, along with spider goats and spider alfalfa,
do not want.
Spider clothes may soon be with us.
I don't want to know what a spider goat even is. Why would you even tell me this?
Oh, you don't know about the spider goat?
I did, but I think I blocked it out at one point.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. This is the same guy, by the way, the same researcher who developed the spider goat, where he added spider DNA to goats. And in the goat's milk, there is actually spider silk growing. So you milk the goats and you get, like, spider silk.
I believe someone needs to have his funding reduced. If I were president, the first thing I'd do, I would just be to take away the funding from and then imprison the spider goat scientist. From the man that brought you, I mean, really, what worse recommendation could you possibly have than for it to say from the guy who brought you the spider goat?
Spider goat, spider goat.
Jesus.
Randy Lewis, the spider goat guy, the molecular biologist at the University of Wyoming, has been milking his spider goats for a couple of years now, and he's been trying to improve yields of genetically engineered spider silk alfalfa.
I shouldn't be.
Kill me. He's researching improved synthetic spider silk genes, and he hopes to start growing spider cotton in the near future. With his latest research,
All right.
Spider fabrics might only be a year away.
This is like when a wheel goes so fast it looks like it's standing still. I'm actually so creeped out and horrified I'm really not even able to speak at the moment. I don't want spider fabrics made from a spider goat.
It's been 12 years since he first isolated the genes that produce high-performance spider silk.
And he's just gotten crazier in the intervening time.
And he garnered international attention for his transgenic goats, whose DNA has been altered to produce the proteins necessary to make spider silk. When the goats give birth and start lactating, they produce spider silk proteins in their milk, which is collected, purified, and spun into silk.
So they're actually lactating spider goats.
Yes.
Those are the worst three words I have ever heard put together. That's the worst. That is the worst combination of sounds ever to be uttered by anybody. Lactating spider goat. And here's the thing. I don't know what a lactating... Lactating spider goat is like one of those things that would be a CAPTCHA as you're trying to purchase something from Amazon or something. And you would be tempted to just, like, screen capture it for a moment and put it up on Dig. Lactating spider goat, like, the thing is...
Just keep saying it over and over.
I don't even... it sounds like one of those Whiskey Bravo Foxtrot things, too. I don't even know what a lactating spider goat looks like, and yet I know exactly what it looks like. And I'm deeply unnerved.
Well, spider silk is one of the most valuable materials in nature. It can be used for a vast array of products, from artificial ligaments to super strong wound dressings or even body armor. Lewis envisions spider silk, replacement tendons, parachute cords, and more.
Replacement tendons. I like how they slot that right in there. What were the other two things? It was
parachute silk and something else.
It was flanked by two non-go-in-your-body type things.
Parachute cords... And more. Well, yeah, there's also wound dressings and body armor.
Okay, so note that there's wound dressings, body armor, replacement tendons, parachutes. So that he's glossing over the fact that they not only have lactating spider goats that are going to make spider fabrics, but then they're going to go inside your body. And that won't lead to anything awful. I'm sure there'll be no unintended side effects from that.
By the way, to keep this story local and relatable, in a study last year, scientists at Legacy Clinic Research and Technology Center here in Portland demonstrated that spider silk-based brain implants containing adenosine can suppress seizures in rats. So in a paper published in Science, Tufts University research said silk could be used to build flexible and degradable displays or even implantable optical systems for medicine.
So now we've got lactating spider goat silk put inside the brains of rats, which they're testing to put in humans.
Exactly.
Okay. What a beautiful melange this planet is. All right. Is that the end of science? Please say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. There you go. There's science on the march.
So someone in the text box asks, are rat seizures a major problem?
Really? I don't know how to get through the day.
Yeah.
Good Jesus Almighty.
Also, someone else shares that linoleum used to be 50 times as large in the Jurassic period.
Thank you. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. You can also get it on your mobile device and via iTunes as well. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show at RickEmerson.com. RickEmerson.com. And if you are not currently subscribing to the Rick Emerson Show, you can do so at RickEmerson.com for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. And in fact, it's lower if you subscribe, if you get the annual subscription, which I believe, so that's 66, it is $6.66 per month. And then it works out to like, I don't know, like 29.9 cents or something per day. If you are not a subscriber and you feel as though it is beyond your financial ability at this time, or if you're simply a tightwad, what you can do is you can drop us a voicemail at 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964, and leave us a message of no more than 2 minutes in length explaining why you or somebody you know should receive a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. And we'll be giving away 10 of those every month, courtesy of our good friends at New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance. Speaking of things of that nature, remind me, before we get to the top of this hour, I will give a little preview of what's coming up next hour, because something I want to mention. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
The ACLU, Union of North Carolina Legal Foundation, filed a lawsuit Wednesday against Johnston County Public Schools on behalf of 14-year-old Ariana Iacono, who wears a nose stud as part of her religion. School administrators have suspended Iacono, who is a freshman at Clayton High School, numerous times for wearing a nose stud to school. The ACLU says Johnston County school officials are violating her constitutional rights by not allowing her to wear the jewelry. According to Iacono, she wears the stud as part of her affiliation with the Church of Body Modification. According to the school's dress code policy, facial piercings are prohibited except for religious reasons. However, according to Iacono and her mother, they requested a religious exemption per the rules, but never received one. The Iaconos offered evidence to support their affiliation with the church and the wearing of the stud as a religious practice, but say the school dismissed their explanations.
Was that here or was that somewhere else?
This was in North Carolina.
All right. Well, I like people who screw with the system. So, you know, so much. I like people who are impediments.
So, yeah. So, the school has suspended her a total of 4 times this school year, citing the piercing as the reason. There was a hearing. The superintendent denied the appeal. She's going to have to attend an alternative school because she's been suspended. And the ACLU is jumping in with both feet.
But can I just tell you this? That we were talking, I believe it was yesterday, about the ACLU or MoveOn.org or something. It was either yesterday or Monday. We were talking about it, belonging to organizations like that. And the reason you eventually leave is because they just besiege you with email and whatever. And I swear to God, I got home yesterday and there was a thing. I meant to bring it in. And I think I left it at home. But it was a thing from the ACLU giving me, like, for the 500th time, your absolute final opportunity to renew your membership in the ACLU. And then I opened it up, and it did say, you know, the gravest threat to democracy is at our door right now. So as much as I really do like the ACLU just because they annoy people and because they're bothersome, the thing we were talking about the other day is absolutely true, because that is twice in the last 5 days that I've received something from them in the mail demanding, the country's going to fall asunder if I don't send them $12 like today.
Yeah, I'm really of like six minds on this whole story, because on the one hand, I kind of feel like, you know, she should be allowed to like pierce her damn nose. Then I hear the whole Church of Body Modification thing, and then I'm annoyed because that sounds like a fake religion that people belong to just so they can go, look, I've got something pierced. But then I think, but how much worse is that than other religions, really? You know, and so I kind of like, within the course of like 2 seconds, I just waver back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on how I feel about this, and then just decide, eh, eh.
Yeah, I just like people who cause trouble. I just like people who cause discord or entropy in any way. So I have the same. I mean, I go through the same thing you do. You know, this is where I waver a little bit, but I always just come down on the side of people who are causing a ruckus somewhere. Here's Don Taylor.
Police continue to investigate a shooting spree in Gainesville, Florida. 2 people, including the suspected gunman, are dead, and 5 others have been injured. Police say the suspect apparently took his own life. Corporal Tascharna, is that seriously, Rick?
Is this the sound from yesterday? What is the
Gainesville?
Is this a story that we originally had from yesterday?
I'm not sure.
All right, let me see.
The guy's name is, his first name is spelled T-S-C-H-A-R-N-A. Tascharna. It's Corporal Saturnison with the Gainesville Police Department has more.
Maybe
he's a captain.
I'm not entirely sure that he does. Hold on one second. I think this might have actually this might be a cut that predates today. Is this the name of this cut? Gainesville.
Yes.
All right. I believe I do have that. Captain Sinj, how do you spell it?
Scharna. Scharna.
Yeah, no, I got nothing.
It did happen in an area that he grew up in. As far as specific relationships, we are still investigating that part of it.
I don't even remember what the story was about now because I got so, focused on person's name was. Sen said the shooter knew the victims.
I want to say publicly that the people in important positions, both in the Bush administration and the Obama.
This sounds really wrong.
No.
Labeled Gainesville. Totally not about Gainesville. Totally about something else.
I'm going to cross this one off and just...
You know, the name was really your indicator there that we should have moved on. That was the thing. The name was nature's way of indicating to us that we should not have plunged further into the story.
Just a huge error.
It was a boondoggle is what that was, Don.
Error in judgment. Okay. A 5-year-old boy may be behind a fire that damaged a Southeast Portland home on Tuesday night. Portland firefighters responded to a residential fire at 6:56 p.m. on Southeast 139th Avenue between Mill Street and Harrison Court. The initial call to 911 indicated that the 5-year-old occupant of the home lit a fire in the upstairs area of the home. Firefighters said they found heavy smoke coming from the upstairs when they arrived. A search of the home found everyone inside safely escaped the fire, and crews brought the fire under control. The Red Cross was called to help an adult and 5 children who live at the house so they can find temporary housing. The official cause of the fire has not been determined, other than they think the 5-year-old did it. And the damage is estimated at $20,000.
I hope his precious collection of animal bones wasn't damaged.
What?
I'm just speculating. I'm sorry.
Another 5-year-old child was taken into protective custody after methamphetamine was found in a West Salem apartment. Yamhill County Captain Ken Summers said the child lived at the home, which was next door to a grade school. Detectives said drugs were being sold from the location. During the search, investigators said they found marijuana, cash, and about 2 ounces of meth and paraphernalia used for the use and distribution of meth. The child was not home during the search. Susan Lynn Jimenez, 40, of Salem, was arrested and taken to jail on suspicion of unlawful possession and delivery of methamphetamine within 1,000 feet of a school, unlawful possession and delivery of marijuana within 1,000 feet of a school, and endangering the welfare of a minor.
And this is in Salem?
This is in Salem.
Is it really? This must be a slow news day in Salem if they're feeling the need to really make a point of the fact that they arrested somebody for having meth.
Yeah, because...
Doesn't really seem like one of your standout news stories. Here is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
An 8-year-old girl who was abducted by a stranger while playing outside a Fresno home escaped from her captor Tuesday morning after a driver recognized the suspect's vehicle and cut it off. The child was found in Fresno about 11 hours after she disappeared around 8:30 p.m. Monday, triggering a statewide Amber Alert. Police arrested Gregorio Gonzalez, 24, who they said was a member of the Bulldogs street gang. Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer said the driver recognized the red pickup truck from media reports that showed surveillance video of the kidnapper's vehicle. When the driver saw a girl's head in the window, he cut the truck off and forced it to stop. The suspect pushed the girl out of the car and she ran to safety. She was taken to the hospital in good condition, but Dyer later confirmed she had been sexually assaulted.
I saw an interview with the guy who cut him off, but it was pretty great, actually, because he just sort of chased the guy down in his own car and then... Yeah, and did the whole chips thing of, going in front of him and blocking the guy's escape so that he couldn't get out.
Yeah.
That's where you need your explosive collar, right there. You know? You just figure out what gang was he a member of?
The Bulldogs.
See, there you go. And you just, the guy presses a button somewhere. Poof, there you go. No driver.
And if we could, this is a guy that, were we doing our thing where we were sending people fruit baskets? The guy who cut off the guy, in his car. We could send him a fruit basket.
Really? And I wonder if, it's... Well, never mind. In any event, you're listening to Legion of News right here at pdx.fm. You can also get it via iTunes later on today, or it's a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. This is Don Taylor.
We should do one of our...
I will do that after you do this next story.
Jeez. Okay. Well, I was going to
I've got it kind of right here.
Let's
do one non-entertainment story, then we'll do this, and we will move to entertainment news after this.
Lordy.
I'm just saying I'm way ahead of you. I'm like 5 steps ahead of you, baby.
Okay. All right. Nearly a quarter of the nation's parents saving for their children's college education plan to raid their own retirement accounts to pay for it.
Well done.
According to a new study released Tuesday and conducted by student loan provider Sallie Mae. Certified financial planner Mari Adams says it's not the best way to pay for college.
What concerns me is we see a number of parents every day who are not prepared for retirement. And sometimes retirement is not that far off, so they're running out of time to prepare for retirement. This is really the last thing they should be doing right now.
So this is where they have either the retirement fund or the college fund. They don't really have both, and they just decide just to empty out their... This is why it's probably good that I don't have kids, because, I mean, I would just say, like, well, you know, what are you going to do? I guess you'll have to work, you know, and then hang up the phone. I mean, I don't even really know that it would be much of a decision for me.
That's what happened in my house. It was like, well, you know, I don't have the money to pay for you to go to college. You're just going to have to get good grades and get a scholarship or get a job or something. And I said, well, actually, I hate school, so that works out just fine.
Well done.
And everybody wins, except for me later when I tried to get a job and, you know, didn't have a college
degree. Don Taylor is not a role model.
Adam says a good education doesn't have to cost a lot of money.
Sometimes we see parents paying for a level of education, let's say an out-of-state private university, which can easily run $55,000 a year, when they really shouldn't be doing that. They should be saying to their child, I'm sorry, we don't have the funds for this.
Yeah, we're just going to file this under things I don't need to worry about. So there you go. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. We want to talk about one of our brand new business partners. That is Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com. SquiresElectric.com. And the phone number is 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Fully licensed electrical contractors for your home or your business. I don't know. This is probably the time where I should tie it into the somehow into the 5-year-old kid that managed to set the fire upstairs. Except to say, it's just that the number of things that can go wrong—not just like a fire in your home—the number of things that can go wonky if you decide to start screwing around with electricity, like in your basement or, you know, like behind one of those mysterious boxes that's out front of the house where there's like a big thick cable going into it, and then there's another cable coming out the other side, and you're not entirely sure what everything in there does. Or when you the sort of phenomenon of going downstairs and trying to figure out exactly why certain sections of your house's electricity have stopped working, and you realize that the last time anybody looked inside the fuse box was like 1952, and all the writing has faded sufficiently that you're not really sure what anything is connected to. Like, a fire is really the least of your problems there. Fire is one thing. You end up flambéing yourself in the basement, and then, you know, and then you're just going to be the object of scorn and mockery and ridicule. So don't do that. You want to contact people who actually understand what they're doing, who know what they're doing, and who are going to do it right the first time. And that's not just for repairs. It's not just for maintenance. If they're going to install something, if in fact you're having a new house built from scratch, these are things to say that these are difficult things to understand entirely is really to give the most massive understatement to it. So that's what Squires Electric does. It's all they do, and they specialize in electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, the wiring at your home, your office, business, or residential. 503-252-1609. And so if you get home, and you know, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, you go inside and you turn on the light switch and just nothing works, and you go down, even if you check the fuse box, you check the breaker board, you just can't figure out why nothing's working. That's when you just pick up the phone and you call somebody who understands what to look for, what not to look for, and how to get it fixed in the shortest amount of time possible.
Well, the first thing you should probably do is call PGE and make sure that you actually paid your bill.
Yeah, they never you know, here's the thing about PGE. I'm going to stop myself again. That's the third time this hour, by the way, that I stopped myself from going down some on-ramp that would put us that would put us way behind. It's 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609, or SquiresElectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. SquiresElectric.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday, right here at Legion of News.
Actress Lisa Rinna told People she had a procedure in August to surgically reduce the size of her upper lip. My lips started to define who I am, said the 47-year-old, who is married to actor Harry Hamlin. That bothered me. Back in 1986, Rinna had silicone injected into her lip, and last year she confessed about the surgery. I took a big hit for being honest, said the actress. It gave everyone online permission to lab-base me. It hurt my feelings.
Her lips had started to define who she was?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not understanding the nature of her lips.
Well, the thing is, since the last, I don't know, 20 years, she's had lips like a duck. Freakish mutant duck lips, which I guess she thought looked really sexy. And they were fake because she was getting silicone injected into her. Now she's 47 years old. And, you know, having giant mutant duck lips looks even more ridiculous than it did when she was ostensibly hot.
I mean, I guess maybe I'm alone in the fact that I've never really noticed them. I mean,
Seriously?
Maybe I'm confusing her with somebody else.
Look her up on the Google,
All right,
man.
Spell her last name for me.
R-I-N-N-A.
You know, I'm confusing her. This is retarded. I'm confusing her with Leah Remini.
I don't know why.
Okay. That's why it was just conjuring up the image of my, which doesn't make any sense, of course, like confusing her with Brett Butler or somebody.
No. Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, but okay. So, yeah, okay. I know we're talking about, yeah. But it's. Yeah.
She
looks like any number of bitchy women on a catwalk. I mean, that's the thing, is like they don't look that exceptionally big to me.
Really?
She looks like any woman you see at any like French fashion show or on the cover of Vogue who looks pissed off for no reason.
The last 20 years she's looked like she has like a second vagina slapped on her face. Is like the
that's
most
the phrase that pays, by the way.
Hideous mouth. In show business.
She said they were, quote, bumpy and uneven.
Yes, they were.
But that's after the production. They were bumpy and uneven, apparently. They were pillowy and soft beforehand.
Right. Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's daughter, actress Rumor Willis, has split with her boyfriend, Micah Alberti, reports Life and Style.
Talk about a chick that could use some plastic surgery right there. That's
she's
an unfortunate-looking girl.
Rumor is very upset, said the source. She went to Las Vegas this past weekend with a few friends to try and cheer up and have fun, but she's very sensitive about the breakup. She spent a few minutes talking to Cord Overstreet, the new cast member on Glee. They just chatted a few minutes and went their separate ways. Why do we care about this again?
I don't know. Cord Overstreet sounds like a guy who ought to be a character on Days of Our Lives.
The new film, it's kind of a funny story, marks a bit of a departure for actor Zach Galifianakis, showing the comedian is also adept at drama. The story centers on a 15-year-old who checks into a New York City adult mental ward after suffering from depression, and Galifianakis is one of the patients he befriends during his stay. Galifianakis talks about signing up for It's Kind of a Funny Story, which co-stars Emma Roberts and opens in limited release on October 8th.
The directors asked to meet me, and I had already seen their movies, and I was kind of flattered. Knowing the tone of their movies, I was really excited because I wanted to try to do something that was a little bit more grounded and maybe dramatic. And they had some confidence in me, and that's kind of how it came about. We just sat and chatted about the way I would see the character and the way I'd like to play it and the way they wanted to play it, and we kind of agreed on it.
Sometimes I can't tell whether it's just I'm used to seeing certain people in character or performing, or whether they're just totally disinterested in the movie that they're promoting.
These quotes from people about their entertainment things that we've been getting are almost universally just boring.
But it's
These
just
people are
the
boring.
It's just the actors. That's the thing. You know, you get any number of other people from other stories. They sound fine. It's just actors who seem. It's like they are incapable of conjuring up even an iota of excitement about it. As long as it's better than that damn thing he does with Jason Schwartzman. What is it? Bored to Death? Is that show?
Yeah.
What a terrible show that is.
I wanted to like it.
You and me
and
both.
I think Ted Danson is really terrific on it. But it didn't.
I watched for, I think, maybe like a month or so. I watched, I think, the first four episodes. And it was like I kept willing myself to keep coming back thinking it would have to get better at some point. And no, it never did.
Yeah, I just found it kind of tedious. Let's try this one. Director-writer Wes Craven returns to his horror roots with his new movie, My Soul to Take. The picture focuses on the Riverton Ripper, a serial killer who swears to kill the seven children who were born the night he died. On their 16th birthday, the teenagers are murdered one by one. Craven explains why he came back to the horror genre. And maybe he also explains why he's making the same movie again.
I'm sorry. That was me hitting my head into the hitting my head into the microphone.
See what he has to say, shall we?
I don't know. It's like my hand is hovering over the button, and I just like my brain won't actually press it.
This is the first movie he's directed since Nightmare on Elm Street, A New Beginning, or whatever it was called.
I'm staring at it. I know that I'm supposed to. This is like when people get altitude sickness on Everest, and they know that they're supposed to put their oxygen mask on, and they look at it, and then they just can't bring themselves to do it.
You know, I watched the trailer for this last night because...
Was it awesome?
There's a screening for it on Thursday night at 10 p.m.
You're gonna make sure to go to that, are you?
Well, no, because I have to be at work on Monday, on Friday morning, and I really don't care that much. But I watched the trailer and started watching it and going... So it's Nightmare on Elm Street, except they're not asleep.
Maybe it's Nightmare on Elm Street, the version I don't sell the franchise rights for. Maybe that's what this is all about. I'm not going to play this.
No,
I'm not.
I like Wes Craven.
Yeah, I like Wes Craven, too. I can't bring myself to hear this sound. Right. We'll play it next hour. At the moment, it's the whole John Waters thing, where I like him much more than I like any movie he has ever made. I mean, the original Nightmare on Elm Street's a fine film. I mean, it's not, like, exceptional. But it's, you know...
It was pretty damn scary, that first one. It really was. Before Freddy became, like, a big joke.
I admire what he did with the film. I didn't find it all that scary. But that's not... I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's not like... I it's really hard for me to be, you know... I don't find a lot of movies scary. It's difficult... finding a movie really scary is like getting—it's like a movie making me laugh out loud. I can recognize that a movie's really great, but it's difficult for a movie to actually terrify me, especially if it's about the supernatural. Like it's almost impossible for a movie that's about like you know like spooks and specters to sort of freak me out. That being said, you know, it's a great idea for a film, and you know whatever. And he seems like a good guy, and he seems like a guy who's tried to break out of the horror mode, but hadn't been able to do it. But I find him more interesting than I would say 99% of the movies that he's made. So we'll play it maybe next hour. You are listening right now to Legion of News at PDX.fm. Among the folks who make this fine program possible are Clara Grebel. Who is Clara Grebel, you ask? Well, Rick Emerson says in response, she is the owner and operator of Castalia Language Center. They are in downtown Portland. They are a Spanish language school for adults. And you can find out more about them by going to PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. That's the URL. And they hold class sizes to a maximum of 8 people. There's no more than 8 people to a class, which means if you're there, you're going to be able to learn at the same rate, at the same way as other folks. It's all for adults as well, which means that everybody there is going to be learning in exactly the same fashion, in the way that works best with your job, your career, with your family, with your schedule. So whatever time of day works best for you, whatever day of the week works best for you, you're going to be able to find something that functions well. And with your language, the level of acumen you have as well, because not everybody came of age in a time when you were learning a couple years of Spanish or whatever in high school. So sometimes you've already got it mastered. You just need to brush up on it. And sometimes you're just starting from square one. I mean, you're the ground floor of the whole thing. So whether you are a beginning Spanish student or whether you're an intermediate or advanced, you can find whatever level of education you're looking for, whatever day and time suits your schedule. And that's PortlandSpanish.com. That is the website for Castalia Language Center in downtown Portland. PortlandSpanish.com. Do tell them you heard about it here. Won't you please? Here's Don Taylor.
If you're planning to watch TV tonight, we have new episodes of Survivor Nicaragua, The Middle, Undercovers, Better With You, Criminal Minds, Hellcats, one of my new favorite guilty pleasure TV shows, Hellcats, on the CW.
That's right, Don Taylor.
Home of Gossip Girl and Outlook Portland.
That's right.
And there's also on 8 p.m. You'll check your listings on PBS, Michael Feinstein's American Songbook, which vocalist Michael Feinstein sings songs by Rosemary Clooney, Nat King Cole, and Frank Sinatra. So you don't look nearly as excited by that as I am. There's also a show called Bad Universe on the Discovery Channel. Tonight's episode, Alien Attack. Deadly alien encounters and their existence of extraterrestrials are discussed.
And this is on the Discovery Channel?
Yes. And the show is called Bad Universe.
Okay. Mustn't.
No.
Mommy will smack.
Also on MTV, a show called The Challenge, Cutthroat. The season kicks off, the season indicating that the show has been on before, but I've never heard of it. The season kicks off with 30 fan favorites heading to Prague, where they're divided into 3 player-selected teams. After each challenge, the losing teams must send a girl and a guy to the Gulag Battle Arena to determine who remains in the competition.
I don't think Gulag means what they think it means.
I don't think so either.
It's something else altogether. All right, there you go. Well, with that, let's bring down the curtain on another exciting episode of Legion of News, which comes to you live each and every weekday right here on PDX.fm from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon.
Leche!
Exactly. That's right, Don. That's exactly right. At the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor, advanced technology magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Hagler, and chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next at rickemerson.com. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of
Legion of News on PDX.fm.